In the Gospel today, our Blessed Lord says to the Pharisees and chief priests, "Why do you think evil in your hearts?" And this phrase tells us, first of all, that our Blessed Lord could see into the souls of these people, see into their minds, and see what they were thinking. Secondly, it tells us that the law of God gets down straight into the depths of our minds, that not only does it regulate what we do externally, but also internally, which is a very important point. And therefore today I would like to speak to you about impure thoughts and impure desires. An impure thought is an image of something unchaste in our minds. An impure desire goes beyond that. It is the will to do something unchaste. And so it is possible to have an impure thought without having an impure desire. Now, we sin grievously by impure thoughts, that is, mortally, when we take voluntary pleasure in them, when we delight in them when they come. That's a mortal sin. Now, it must be voluntary pleasure, since there is such a thing as involuntary pleasure. To merely experience pleasure as a result of an impure thought is not in itself a sin. Theologians say it is one thing to sense pleasure, it is another thing to consent to pleasure. Because in the temptation, there might be a certain sensation of pleasure. However, if you disapprove of the thought and fight it, there is no sin at all. But if there is an approval of the pleasure, then you have a mortal sin. Impure thoughts are very common, and many commit mortal sins every day by consent to impure thoughts. Impure desires are mortal sins if they are voluntary. They are voluntary when we perceive that they concern a certain serious violation of chastity, and we make no effort to banish them. They are grievous sins, even if they are entertained for a moment. This fact is evident from the words of Christ. "But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath already committed adultery with her in his heart." That is the very definition of an impure desire. Now, when you're confessing impure desires, it is necessary to confess specifically what you desire to do. It is not sufficient to merely say, "I consented to impure desires," nor is it sufficient to say, "I had impure desires." Because to have them doesn't necessarily mean that you consented to them. So it forces the priest to ask you, "Did you consent?" So in your examination of conscience, you want to know, "Did I consent?" That's the only thing of interest to the priest. If you are not sure, you may say, "I had impure desires, and I'm not sure if I consented to them or not." Yes, the priest needs to hear that. But to say simply, "I had," great saints have impure desires. Whether they consent to them
is another thing, and saints don't. But great saints also have impure thoughts. They come to them, but they don't consent to them. Now, we sin venially, on the other hand, when we do not purposely provoke or deliberately entertain impure desires, but when we are the cause of them through our own fault, but not a grievous fault. This happens when we allow ourselves looks, words, and actions which, although are not mortal, nonetheless lead to impure thoughts. For example, carelessness about where your eyes fall in the supermarket with regard to impure magazines. Carelessness with regard to the television. Now, you know that the state of television is such that if you turn it on, you can be practically certain that you are going to find temptation. In a few minutes, even if you turn on the news, you are going to find temptation. And most people don't think about that when they turn it on. They're so used to that thing as a form of entertainment that they sin venially, usually, in exposing themselves to those evil images and evil suggestions. And in such a case, they commit a venial sin. But if when you are looking at those things and hearing those evil things, you are drawn into consent and entertainment of those things, delight, then you commit a mortal sin. And always remember that venial sin paves the way to mortal sin, and that carelessness with the frequentation of impurity, particularly with the television set, leads to mortal sin. And those of you who do frequent the television, perhaps every day, think of your judgment. Think of your judgment. Would you be able to say truthfully to Almighty God, "Well, I didn't know that there would be impurity on the television set"? Or, "No one ever told me that that was impure"? And when you have to spend years and years and years, perhaps centuries in purgatory for the venial sins that you committed every single day, if they are indeed only venial, for having obtained the cheap entertainment of television, and when you contemplate that for centuries and centuries in the pains of purgatory, will you be happy about that? And will you be able to say to yourself, "It was all worth it"? For you know that when you go to that box, impurity is going to come from it. You know it. We also sin venially when, instead of resisting and suppressing the impure temptation immediately, we dwell slightly on it through curiosity, without, however, taking pleasure in it. So we are sluggish in our rejection, and it stays a moment in our mind without a vigorous rejection, without, however, taking pleasure in it. Eve, when she was tempted, dwelled excessively on the temptation of Satan, and this finally led to her consent. But if it doesn't go to consent, it remains a venial sin. but very often it does. We also sin venially if we should take some pleasure in the impure thought or desire, but where we lack the proper deliberation or proper knowledge of the evil. You see, something that always makes a mortal sin into venial sin is lack of deliberation, that is, where we're not completely knowledgeable of what we're doing, or ignorance, that is, where we're not knowledgeable that the object is a mortal sin, what we're thinking about is a mortal sin. See, that in that case, in that particular case, that makes a mortal sin a venial sin. This is often the case of someone who is overwhelmed by temptations to impure thoughts. See, sometimes the devil will suggest impure thoughts very, very severely and graphically. That's usually a sign of temptation from the devil and not merely a suggestion of nature. And when the soul is so disturbed by such a strong temptation, it is possible that it does not have the sufficient deliberation, or he does not perceive at once the evil that is before him. So, for example, when somebody is daydreaming and he doesn't have sufficient attention, he is capable of thinking about things that he should not think about, but without mortal sin, because he's not paying attention sufficiently to what he's doing. As soon as you do perceive the evil, however, you must dispel the thought. You must fight off the impure thought. If you pray during an attack of impure thought, St. Alphonsus says, you can be sure that you did not consent. And so the first thing to do is to pray. And if you pray fervently throughout the temptation, you will see that you will not consent. You might be disturbed, but you will not consent. And that's the important thing. We also sin venially if we do resist the temptation, but not with the proper strength and determination. And that's due to a low level of charity in our souls. Charity is the love of God. But if we have not loved God sufficiently, if we have compromised our love of God by love of the world, then our response to sin will be weak. It will be there, but it will be weak, because we hate sin to the extent that we love God. Think of animals with their young. Those animals are so concerned about the preservation of their young that they have an intense hatred of anyone, even the most innocent intruder, who would come and disturb their nest because of the intense love of their young. So also, we should have such a strong love of God that we should have an immediate and strong reaction to the impure thought. It should be a hateful thought to us. Now, we do not sin at all if we give this strong reaction to impure thoughts and desires, and if we endeavor to banish them from our minds, and so if you can say, I have done nothing to induce these impure thoughts, I have done nothing to draw them into my mind, and you give them vigorous resistance by prayer, even if the temptation should last for hours, and even if you should become interiorly very disturbed by them, you have not sinned. You have nothing to confess. As a matter of fact, you have merited. You have done a good deed, and a very good deed. And the more difficult the temptation was, the more merit you have. You have absolutely nothing to confess. So if you come to the confessional and say, I've been tempted terribly this week by impure thoughts, and I did my best to banish them, and I think that I got rid of them because I prayed during the temptation, the priest will say, well, is there anything else? That's not a sin. So understand that that is actually an act of virtue when you do that. And also understand that God permits those temptations in order to perfect you. Because you emerge from those temptations more pure than when you started. That is, you love chastity and purity more at the end of those temptations than when you started. Think of it in the same way that you would consider a car wash. You emerge at the end of the car wash in a lot better condition than when you started. And the same is true of temptation. So the way to resist impure thoughts and desires is through prayer, especially prayer to the Blessed Virgin Mary. And we should pray, of course, when we're tempted. But we should also pray when we're not tempted. We should have a holy devotion to our Blessed Lady. And those who do have a daily and holy devotion to our Blessed Lady do not have serious problems with impurity. It's like eating. If you only eat when you're starving, you're not a healthy person. But if you eat well every day and maintain your strength, you will have, in general, good health. And so also, yes, while we should go to the Blessed Virgin Mary in time of temptation, we should go to her every day and ask for the grace of purity. And I recommend that especially to young people who are particularly tempted against purity. They should have a particular devotion to our Blessed Lady. I also call attention to the problem of television, which is responsible for so much impurity in the minds of people, a whole mentality of impurity. And if you were to remove television from your life, I think that would be a wonderful thing. Because there is hardly anything on it that is worthwhile. Certainly nothing that is worth the risk that you take to watch it. There is nothing so good that is worth the risk that you take to watch it. Movies as well. If a movie has been made in the past 35 years, you can presume that it has things in it that will tempt you to evil, seriously. A few may not. Those are exceptions. But in general, and particularly the past 15 years. So don't kid yourselves and say, well, this movie is all right, or you know what's in it. How would you respond to God? Always think about your judgment in those things. And also remember that every impure action begins with an impure thought. It is impossible to get to the impure action unless you have first consented to an impure thought. And so if you want to solve the problem of impure actions, you must first begin in your mind. You must make your mind clean and pure and not think evil in your mind, but rather let your mind be a sanctuary of the Holy Ghost. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.